So today I'm speaking to Ellie Vesey-Thompson, your Deputy Police and Crime Commissioner for Surrey. Good morning, Ellie, and thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me. Surrey Police has recently been awarded platinum status for its quality of work in Surrey by the Independent Custody Visiting Scheme, the ICVS. How is this award judged and on what merits it?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So the scheme's judged every 3 years by a national organisation called ICVA, which is the Independent Custody Visiting Scheme, National Association. So they come in every 3 years and they look at how we're running our scheme in Surrey. And we were previously gold level. So we've had a really, really good scheme running for a few years now. And it's just absolutely brilliant that we've been able to be recognised for even better improvements through the platinum status this year. And the real credit for that goes to our scheme manager, Erica, who does a wonderful job supporting our volunteers and making sure that what we're doing in those custody visits is what we should be doing. And also working with those custody staff to make sure that where things are found, they're fixed really quickly. And that changes that need to be made are implemented to the benefit of everybody.
So what are they actually looking for when they visit the custody suites in terms of people being in the suites? What are they actually looking for?
So they're looking for a variety of things. Overall, they're basically looking to make sure that what we're doing with people in custody is what we should be doing with people in custody. So people are there, they're being treated well. So they will ask to speak to people who are in custody during that visit, and they will have an unannounced visit. So we won't be able to sort of prepare and make sure that everything they were doing wrong before is now being done right. It is completely unannounced. So they'll go in and they'll make sure that the people are being cared for properly, that they've had they've been offered food, they've been offered drinks, they've had breaks if they're on medication, that's being sorted. That people are generally comfortable if they've got additional needs or they've got additional anxieties over things, that they've been offered distraction things. So that ranges from sort of jigsaw puzzles, particularly for children and young people, fidget and spinners and things to sort of help distract from the things that are causing them anxiety. And they're actually working on a brilliant new package at the moment around the menopause, because for women stuck in custody, if you're going through the menopause, that can be, you know, additionally challenging, whether that's just physical discomfort because of sort of sweating and body temperature, or, you know, hormonal changes and how that impacts stress. So they do a really good job making sure that people are being sort of physically well looked after.
And how are the volunteers picked? Do they have any experience in this sort of area?
So volunteers come from a really wide range of backgrounds, and the whole point is that they are sort of general members of the Surrey public. So they don't have to have custody experience. They apply to the scheme when we have spaces open. We don't always have spaces open. We do sort of advertise as and when those slots become available, because we can't have hundreds of people. We wish we could, but we just don't have the time to sort of manage that, and we don't need them. It would be sort of lots of unnecessary pressure on the custody suites, and most people wouldn't get to do many visits. So we have a sort of core dedicated team who will do a variety of visits throughout the month. Each team go to the same custody suite all the time, so we don't have people sort of traveling around all the time. They'll either go to the one closest to home or the one that they've picked to travel to. So people apply similar sort of any job, they'll apply for the role and hopefully they're suitable, and we sort of interview and see that they're appropriate for the role. It's quite informal, but it's open to anybody.
And what particular things stood out for you to go from gold to platinum status?
What was really notable, particularly when I was at the event speaking to other sort of people from other offices, is our ICV scheme is really well supported by the Commissioner and our wider team. There are other teams across the country who aren't so embedded in their PCC's office, and they don't have as much support. Maybe they don't quite have the understanding of what they do. I think it's something that the Commissioner are really positive about and really supportive of. So I think that really helps ensure that the scheme is running well and delivering as it should be. And as I said earlier, we've got a really dedicated scheme manager, Erica, who does an absolutely brilliant job. And I think the all-round sort of positives of the scheme, from, you know, Erica doing her job really well to actually our independent volunteers being absolutely brilliant, and lots of them now quite experienced, they've been doing it for quite a few years, that's just really helped us elevate from that gold to platinum level.
So moving on, National Crime Week was highlighted recently, and you joined Laura Rowley on a visit to 3 farms in rural communities. Why is the monitoring of rural crime so important? Because Surrey is a very rural county.
Yeah, so we're really lucky in Surrey to have beautiful rural spaces, but we've also got lots of more urban areas. So it's really sort of a tale of two halves. Rural crime is really important to monitor, because a lot of people, particularly in rural communities, have additional vulnerabilities, whether that's just because they're in the middle of nowhere and they've not got many neighbours, or because they might be older, they've lived there for a long time and they don't have as many sort of transport options, they may not drive. So there's those additional sort of vulnerabilities and isolation. It can also have a huge impact on people's livelihoods. So farmers, for example, you know, cost of living is hitting us all, including farmers, and they're the people that grow our food. What they're doing is really important, and we need to make sure that we're supporting them as much as possible so they don't have more challenges to what is already a very difficult job.
And is rural crime being targeted more by organised crime groups?
So one of the challenges of rural crime is that it's so varied. So there is no sort of label of rural crime. It could be any crime really that happens in a rural area. So you've got domestic abuse can be quite a problem because of the isolation. So that's one side of it. But then you do have, yes, that organised crime element of particularly around theft. So plant machinery theft is a really big concern, particularly at the moment with sanctions on Russia. People are trying to obtain that plant machinery from other means. We actually had a brilliant intern with us from Rural Holloway over the summer who was looking at links between rural organised crime in rural areas across Europe and whether other countries have seen a similar rate increase to us, and actually trying to sort of forecast forward as to when the sort of war between Russia and Ukraine does start to calm down and we move on to that sort of rebuild phase in Ukraine, what impact that might have on a further increase in plant machinery theft in the UK, where that's being stolen to be taken over there to help with rebuild. So that's something that we're really keeping an eye on.
Have you noticed there is a general uptrend everywhere in the UK and across Europe because of the Russia sanctions?
Obviously, it's hard to say that it's specifically because of Russia sanctions, but in 2022, I've not yet seen the figures for this year, but in 2022, there was quite a significant increase in rural crime and theft across the UK. Things from, as I said, plant machinery to GPS systems from a tractor. So they can be really, really expensive. So not only are they quite sort of a target for theft, they also then have a real big impact on farmers who rely on those to do their jobs. So yes, there has been a national increase. We really promote in Surrey the CESAR scheme, which is a forensic marking tool that you can put on your plant machinery, which helps ensure that if that is found, we can really try and get it back to you, because a lot of the time the problem is that it's impossible to trace where it's come from. So we really encourage people to use that scheme. We actually had a rural crime training day recently organised by Laura Rowley, who you mentioned in the question, at one of our local farms, which included a variety of things, but it did include an input from the people who run the CESAR scheme. So helping ensure that officers are more aware of the signs to spot. So perhaps if machinery is moving around late at night and you might not expect it, just to pull that over and check that that's come from a legitimate source, that that's being driven by someone who should be driving it.
Thank you for that. And can we all go on to a youth commission? I believe you're in your second year. Applications close in November.
So we're really pleased to be running the Youth Commission for a second year. It was a really positive output last year, and I'm really proud of all the commissioners we had. It's been great that we've had some of them return for a second year, but we also have a new mix of new people and new voices, which is also really positive, because we get you know, that change in perspective. We did have a number of applications from across the county. We don't actually manage that process, so we've got a brilliant organisation called Leaders Unlocked to help us run the Youth Commission. So they deal with all the applications and help choose a sort of broad mix of young people. But we've definitely got a broader mix of age this year, which is brilliant. So we've got some younger people right through to sort of the top end of the age range. We've got some students, we've got some people still in school. We've got a good mix of male and female as well. But we're still open for brilliant applicants who still want to get involved. So that's still an option.
And what is their involvement? What do they achieve by becoming part of the commission?
So they do a sort of mix of things throughout the year. So ultimately, they will deliver in the sort of summer an event called a big conversation. So they will take all their findings. So so throughout the year, the Youth Commission start by setting their priorities for the year. So they've not yet done that this year. They're still working on it. We're meeting again in January to sort of finalise those commitments from them. But last year, it included things such as violence against women and girls, concerns around the sort of how common drugs are around young people, which was really a concern, Actually, they sort of describe them as being quite normalized amongst their peers, which is really quite scary. So they develop those commitments. And what was really fascinating is how closely aligned a lot of their priorities were to our police and crime plan. So which sort of proves, which I've sort of been saying all along, is that young things that matter to young people matter to everybody. They're not just sort of your stereotypical youth issues. They're things that affect communities and people of all ages. So that's really brilliant to see that they've got the sort of the same focus as us. And that's not driven by us at all. That's completely driven by them. So once they've set those priorities, they will then consult. So they will have conversations with members of Surrey Police. They will speak to experts on particular issues. So last year they had a presentation in Q&A from Surrey Police around stop and search, which was quite a priority for quite a few of them, actually. They were quite interested in that topic. But they also survey their peers. So last year they surveyed young people from across the county. So they go into schools, they'll go and visit youth groups, and they ask them questions around their priorities, just to make sure that what they're saying does reflect what their peers say, which, you know, is really important. We're making sure that we're representing young people across the county. And I'm really proud of how they did that last year. And we got some brilliant results. And at the end, what they do is present to us a final report, which includes actions for our office, for Surrey Police, and also some for partners. And partners are really involved in that big conversation event that they hold just before they launch that report, where they present their findings so far and then ask us for feedback. So maybe things that we think aren't quite right, or maybe something we already do and actually we just need to be promoting it better, so you know, not reinventing the wheel. Last year we had some brilliant suggestions, and we're working on one at the moment with Surrey Police around sort of vulnerable young people and how being stopped by the police might, you know, be more intimidating for them, and how we can be better as Surrey Police can be better at making sure that officers understand those vulnerabilities and what that young person might say to indicate they might need more help, and things around the Pegasus scheme, the Pegasus card. So that's been really helpful and really good to know that that's not been as sort of openly known about as we thought it might have been.
Yeah, it sounds like you're bridging a huge gap between young people and the police and make it much easier for them all to talk with. Finally, the force got rather a bad Peel report in early December. Peel meaning Police Effectiveness, Efficiency and Legitimacy, from His Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary, Fire and Rescue Services. Surrey has a lower than average number of 999 calls and 101 calls. The report says response times have deteriorated since last year's report, which said it was an area that needed improvement. What Surrey Police, was it fair what they said, or do you feel that there are ways that it could have been looked at better?
So I think what I would say is, we really welcome that report. So Peel is really helpful in us understanding where things do need to be a bit better. But the brilliant thing around the findings around 101 and 999 is that a lot of the improvements have already been made. So by the time that report's come out, we've made significant improvements. A lot of the challenges around 101 and 999 was staffing and, you know, getting people through and trained and into that centre. Call response times have massively improved. Wait times massively improved. 999 is back to pretty sure where it should be. So it's pretty much really fixed. It's something we're already aware of. The commissioner was aware of it a while ago when the problem started. We keep a really close eye on things like that. And she's been involved in and received updates around progress over the past few months. So that's a problem that we're already aware of. We expected to come out, but we had pretty much already fixed it and we're already on top of it.
Well, that's brilliant. That's probably, well, as much as everything I've got to say. Is there anything you want to highlight for Radio Jackie listeners leading into the Christmas week? Anything to be aware of, vigilance, anything like that you want to say to them?
I think the biggest things around Christmas and broadly more broadly winter is driving. So please be safe on the roads. If you're going out to Christmas parties, please don't be tempted to drink and drive. It's just not worth the risk to yourself and to other people. Be extra careful where surfaces might be slippery. We have lots of accidents in Surrey that could be very easily avoided just by more careful and cautious driving. So please just don't take the risk. It's not worth the risk to your Christmas, other people's Christmases. Be safe. And also just make sure that your homes are protected. You're not leaving Christmas presents around in windows when you're going out. for the evening and sort of encouraging people to potentially burgle your house, make sure things are safe, non-visible, and just keep yourself as protected as possible. But please, please, please don't drink and drive.
Very wise words, Ellie. Thank you very much. Have a lovely Christmas and speak to you soon. Thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie. Thank
lovely.
You. Take care.
Thanks, bye. Jackie.
Bye.
Bye.
Forum. I believe you're in your second year. Applications close in November.
So we're really pleased to be running the Youth Commission for a second year. It was a really positive output last year, and I'm really proud of all the commissioners we had. It's been great that we've had some of them return for a second year, but we also have a new mix of new people and new voices, which is also really positive because we get that change in perspective. We did have a number of applications from across the county. We don't actually manage that process, so we've got a brilliant organisation called Leaders Unlock to help us run the Youth Commission. So they deal with all the applications and help choose a sort of broad mix of young people. But we've definitely got a broader mix of age this year, which is brilliant. So we've got some younger people right through to sort of the top end of the age range. We've got some students. We've got some people still in school. We've got a good mix of male and female as well. But we're still open for brilliant applicants who still want to get involved. So that's still an option.
And what is their involvement? What do they achieve by becoming part of the commission?
So they do a sort of mix of things throughout the year. So ultimately, they will deliver in the sort of summer an event called a Big Conversation. So they will take all their findings. Throughout the year, the Youth Commission start by setting their priorities for the year. So they've not yet done that this year. They're still working on it. We're meeting again in January to sort of finalise those commitments from them. But last year, it included things such as violence against women and girls, concerns around the sort of how common drugs are around young people, which was really a concern. Actually, they sort of describe them as being quite normalised amongst their peers, which is really quite scary. So they develop those commitments. And what was really fascinating is how closely aligned a lot of their priorities were to our police and crime plan. So which sort of proves, which I've sort of been saying all along, is that things that matter to young people matter to everybody. They're not just sort of your stereotypical youth issues. They're things that affect communities and people of all ages. So that's really brilliant to see that they've got the sort of the same focus as us. And that's not driven by us at all. That's completely driven by them. So once they've set those priorities, they will then consult. So they will have conversations with members of Surrey Police. They will speak to experts on particular issues. So last year they had a presentation in Q&A from Surrey Police around stop and search, which was quite a priority for quite a few of them. Actually, they were quite interested in that topic. But they also survey their peers. So last year they surveyed young people from across the county. So they go into schools, they'll go and visit youth groups, and they ask them questions around their priorities. Just to make sure that what they're saying does reflect what their peers say, which, you know, is really important. We're making sure that we're representing young people across the county. And I'm really proud of how they did that last year. And we got some brilliant results. And at the end, what they do is present to us a final report, which includes actions for our office, for Surrey Police, and also some for partners. And partners are really involved in that Big Conversation event that they hold just before they launch that report, where they present their findings so far and then ask us for feedback. So maybe things that we think aren't quite right, or maybe something we already do and actually we just need to be promoting it better. So, not reinventing the wheel. Last year we had some brilliant suggestions, and we're working on one at the moment with Surrey Police around sort of vulnerable young people and how being stopped by the police might, you know, be more intimidating for them, and how we can be better, Surrey Police can be better at making sure that officers understand those vulnerabilities and what that young person might say to indicate they might need more help, and things around the Pegasus scheme, the Pegasus card. So that's been really helpful and really good to know that that's not been as sort of openly known about as we thought it might have been.
Yeah, it sounds like you're bridging a huge gap between young people and the police and make it much easier for them all to talk to. Finally, the force got rather a bad Peel report in early December. Peel meaning Police Effectiveness, Efficiency and Legitimacy, from His Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary, Fire and Rescue Services. Surrey has a lower than average number of 999 calls and 101 calls. The report says response times have deteriorated since last year's report, which said it was an area that needed improvement. Was it fair what they said, or do you feel that there are ways that it could have been looked at better?
So I think what I would say is we really welcome that report. So Peel is really helpful in us understanding where things do need to be a bit better. But the brilliant thing around the findings around 101 and 999 is that a lot of the improvements have already been made. So by the time that report's come out, we've made significant improvements. A lot of the challenges around 101 and 999 was staffing and, you know, getting people through and trained and into that centre. Call response times have massively improved. Wait times massively improved. 999 is back to pretty sure where it should be. So it's pretty much really fixed. It's something we're already aware of. The commissioner was aware of it a while ago when the problem started. We keep a really close eye on things like that. And she's been involved in and received updates around progress over the past few months. So that's a problem that we're already aware of. We expected to come out, but we had pretty much already fixed it and we're already on top of it.
And that's probably, well, as much as everything I've got to say. Is there anything you want to highlight for Radio Jackie listeners leading into the Christmas week? Anything to be aware of, vigilance, anything like that you want to say to them?
I think the biggest things around Christmas and broadly more broadly winter is driving. So please be safe on the roads. If you're going out to Christmas parties, please don't be tempted to drink and drive. It's just not worth the risk to yourself and to other people. Be extra careful where surfaces might be slippery. We have lots of accidents in Surrey that could be very easily avoided just by more careful and cautious driving. So please just don't take the risk. It's not worth the risk to your Christmas, other people's Christmases. Be safe. And also just make sure that your homes are protected. You're not leaving Christmas presents around in windows when you're going out for the evening and sort of encouraging people to potentially burgle your house. Make sure things are safe, non-visible, and just keep yourself as protected as possible. But please don't drink and drive.
Very wise words, Ellie. Thank you very much. Have a lovely Christmas and speak to you soon. Thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie. Thank you.
Lovely.